This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today's sponsor is Loot Crate. Save 10% on any new subscription at trylootcrate.com/SBFVGS. Enter promo code BRIDGE10 for 10% savings. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 73. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Pied Piper, Lopez.
That's the weirdest one, yeah, but I still love it. It's very good. Very good.
You're just leading all the children off to their demise on the Platinum Road. Huh. Yeah, okay. That's what that means.
Sure.
Yeah. And David Sugar Muffin Tate.
I can explain that if you'd like. Would you like?
Yeah. I'd like it.
So, Nicholas Wagner.
David. I'd like that.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you'd like that. Friend of the show, Nicholas Wagner, has a girlfriend, and she calls me Sugar Muffin, and I call her Cupcake. The funny thing about this story is that Nick does not have a pet name for her, and she doesn't have one for him, but she has one for me, and I have one for her. So there you go. And thank you for that wonderful intro, Adam. Super cool new Twitter profile picture, Haver. Wet Redding.
Ooh, oh. Look out.
And it's I almost summer, called you know? Wedding for some reason. But
yeah, so
You got summer, your shades
you know?
On.
You gotta have some shades on.
You got that, like, that smirk, like, you know. You're like, yeah, I'm cool.
You know. Oh, you know what's going on. That's all that is.
Yeah, that's all that is.
The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you guys playing?
Mike, I will let you go first.
Let me go first,
my friend.
Okay, it's a change.
Yeah, you know, the last shall be first, and I would rather be first, so I'm going to let... I'll be last, so that I'm first.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
But I think if you've thought it all the way through like that, you're still putting yourself first and you shall be last.
Oh, no. So, no.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's a technicality, but
it's a real gotcha right there.
So I'm still playing Mass Effect Andromeda, which is I'm having fun. I like it. It's definitely not holding a candle to the original, you know, trilogy, but still a very fun game.
How so?
Specifically, the Mass Effect trilogy really, really focused on character building and not just like your character. Like, you felt like you knew the crew members, like you actually cared. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
You know, I don't think this is a spoiler. This game's been out for a million years, but Mass Effect 2. You know, your characters can die at the end, like before you finish the game, and like permanently be dead for the trilogy. I guess they can in one as well. And so the game spends time like getting you to interact with those characters and you know, spending time in writing and making those characters kind of like, you know, people that you want to get to know. So like you care when that kind of stuff happens. Andromeda does not do that. Like I've got like almost 30 hours in that game, and besides Drac the Krogan, because Krogans are always awesome, I couldn't tell you one name of a person on my crew at all.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, I can't remember any of them.
Oh man,
because they don't matter.
That tells me maybe you're a bad captain.
It's very possible.
Maybe it's your fault, Mike.
Oh, Adam comes right down with the hard logic, man.
It's totally possible. I might have to spend some time looking at me. Or maybe that's the problem. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Who can say? Besides that, I've got two things I played in the last week that were probably pretty unexpected for folks that know me.
One of them.
You know one of them. Would you like to say it?
No, I'll let you say it. What? Why would I want to steal your glory, you know?
Yeah, you, don't steal his glory.
You can't, because I'm playing Just Dance from Ubisoft.
Yes.
Why? So why?
You guys didn't know that Mike loved dance, the art of dance,
right,
so much.
Yeah, nobody knew.
But he does.
It's 2016, right? Is that the one you're playing?
Yeah, that's the one I'm playing.
Jeez, what has happened to you?
Well, it was on sale, so that's one thing. So I got the game for super cheap. And also, like, I didn't put these moves here, but I am going to bust them.
Okay.
All right.
In reality, my daughter really loves that game, and I decided to buy it for her. But, you know, I'll get down, and I'll try to platinum it, because that's what I do.
Man, yeah. I'm looking at some video footage of it right now, and it is, those dancers are just so fancy.
I don't know. They are
very pale.
Yeah. Well, these guys had like masks on or whatever, like Trojan helmet sort of.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Aside from that, today, I played my very first game of D&D.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually DM'd a game. I received very many, that's redundant. I received a lot of compliments about how fun that campaign was. It was only about 5 minutes long, but
it was a very short campaign. It's the most fun I've ever had playing D&D. I was one of the players.
And that's a resounding endorsement. So
yeah, I think
I feel like I mastered that skill now.
It's also the only time I've ever played D&D proper, though. So
yeah, it still counts.
Okay, all right. As long as you'll take it, that's good.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so this happened in our Discord server, where Adam and Mike miraculously have been actually showing up in the last couple days. And I can tell the people that frequent there are very appreciative of it. So
well, so the boss didn't come to work today. she worked from home.
Don't say that.
Yeah. Boss worked from home today, and other boss is on vacation, so it was kind of I'm not gonna say
a storm.
I'm not gonna say use the term free for all.
Okay.
But you know, it wasn't far off.
All right. So. Okay. Well, I'm sure maybe we shouldn't say that there were like very specific stipulations so that people listening would like to join the Discord so that they have a chance of catching one of you guys in there. So you'll be in there all the time, right, guys?
I'm sure
I've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, that Mike has actually been doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, so all you have to do is go to bit.ly/sbfvgsdiscord. Come chat with us. It's fun. It's a good time. I'm in there literally all work hours. Like if it's work hours, I'm there. But also like I pop in throughout the weekend and, you know, in the evenings and such. So
in related news, David's getting fired soon. Yeah. Very soon.
I guess we better start a Patreon because we're all going to lose our jobs.
Yeah, it's basically inevitable at this point. No, seriously, it's fine. There's a lot of like little bits of downtime throughout the day where I can look over at my computer and like see what people have been saying and get to know people. I've gotten to know so many people through Discord. Like Twitter's great, Facebook's great, but there's something about that real-time interaction where you start to get like a sense that you know that person. So it's been fun. It's real fun.
And that's what I've been playing.
And that's what you've been playing. All right, so that means it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're last. You're last, I thought.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, it means it's Adam's turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have not had a lot of time to play. We're actually recording kind of early this fortnight, and because I'm going to be on vacation next fortnight.
Going
down to Cabo San Lucas.
Ooh, I like the pronunciation. That was good.
Yeah. Cape St. Luke, as they say in the States. So we're going to go down there, me and the wife and some friends. Alex, friend of the show, Alex, who was on the podcast ages ago, he's going to be there. So good times.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
So we're going to be partying it up down there next week. So can't record on the normal night. So not a lot of time has passed. But I did, and I tweeted about this, I picked up God of War 1 and 2 on Vita for $2.99 with the PlayStation Plus discount. And then I picked up God of War 3 Remaster for PS4 for another like $4.99, I think. So all told, about $8. I got the whole trilogy. And I started playing God of War 1 on Vita this week. And so, and I'm curious, I don't know if anyone out there knows, I haven't tried it yet, but I also own the remaster of God of War 1 and 2 on PS3. And so I'm curious if anyone knows if you can transfer your save.
Oh, that's a fancy pronunciation.
Is there any transferring going on in that game? A cross save, as they may say these days?
I would suspect not. They don't strike me as like very decision heavy games, right?
Well, no, I just mean like not from that perspective. I just mean like, can I pick up and play where I was on the Vita on my PS3 and vice versa?
Oh, and are you using the Hideo Kojima phrase that he was trying to popularize? Is that him?
I don't know if it was him. I don't know if he created that, but that was a Sony jargon, piece of Sony jargon for a little bit there. So
yeah, I think that is Hideo, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken.
Yeah. But anyway, so hopefully I can transfer back and forth. if not, oh well. But I'll just play it on the Vita, the greatest of handhelds. Mm-hmm. Although I gotta say, after getting used to my Nintendo Switch, when I pick up the Vita, I'm like, oh man, this thing is starting to feel old. It's starting to feel pretty old.
Yep.
Yeah,
Mike, so. It's not the best anymore.
Well, he didn't say that.
I mean, it's old, but it's still the greatest.
Oh, okay.
Best forever.
Sure.
Yeah, everyone knows. but yeah, I played some God of War, and that game sure is a PS2 game.
Oh.
So I'm just like playing it, and it's fun. It's the combat actually holds up really well.
This is God of War 1 you're talking about?
This is the original David Jaffe God of War. So yeah, basically playing through it, and like I said, the combat really holds up. I think that's a lot of fun still. But the I sure am pushing a lot of blocks around.
Oh.
Big cubes, you know, pushing them around to solve puzzles. There's a lot of balance beams.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pulling levers. So, yeah. You know, just all those lovely things we loved to do so much back on the PS2.
Yeah. Oh, man, it looks like a blast.
Yeah. So, anyway, but then also, my son's been playing Ni No Kuni, so I've been sitting there with him kind of coaching, helping out, giving some tips and stuff. So yeah, playing some Ni No Kuni, cooning a lot of Ninos.
Yeah, as you
and
do.
So as you do.
Still no word about a PS4 remaster of that game, which I would play. I think
a lot of people would. Mm-hmm. But and you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm wondering if Sony doesn't have a ton of confidence in Ni No Kuni 2, because they really haven't been pushing it that hard. Hmm. Like it wasn't in the press conference at E3.
No, it's true.
I mean, they did a live demo of it. Sony did officially, like on their channel and everything. But I don't know. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how well the first one did, though. We don't really know. Do we know numbers? We don't know numbers, right?
Not off the top of my head, but I know the Ni No Kuni was a hit. Like it sold way better than they expected it to.
That's good. Okay.
So, but well, anyway.
Yeah. Anything else you've been playing?
No, that's about it.
That's about it, huh? All right. Well, I guess I'll go last then, guys. Mm-hmm. I have actually been playing quite a few games because the Steam Summer Sale has been happening. And so I've been playing, I think one of my favorite games that I've been playing is a game called Dead Cells.
Yeah. So I watched a bit of your YouTube, your Twitch streaming that you archived to the YouTube.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a slightly randomly generated Metroidvania game, where you get new power-ups and, you know, like cool, weapons to use and like amulets that will like either help you, decrease the amount of damage that you take or, you know, increase, you know, damage that you deal or, you know, however, whatever, all kinds of permutations. And the art style itself is actually gorgeous. It kind of looks like a really pretty Super Nintendo game. But with, like, there's like particle physics and more animations than they could have ever had. And, you know, it's just nice. And I have not made it very far through the game. It's very difficult. And it's one of those things where when you die, it's kind of like a Rogue Legacy where when you die, the the layout of the dungeon that you're playing changes a little bit. And you start back at the beginning, and but like you like when you kill certain bosses, you get power ups that will help you get to other level, like other parts of the level. Like so early on, you can like tickle this like little green goo on the ground, and it doesn't do anything. It just says tickle, and it's weird. And you're like tickling this green goo, but then after you defeat a boss, you'll get like a power up that lets you grow vines out of that goo. And then you can go somewhere else in an early level, you know, so you can like start out going, and then there'll be a door there that leads you to a different level. So
in true Metroidvania fashion.
Yeah, that's basically. Awesome. So it's pretty cool. I haven't made it very far, but I'm liking it so far. Another game I've been playing is a game called Ark, which is this crazy.
Yes.
It's this crazy, like, it's almost like Minecraft. It's got that whole like build a hut and, you know, but it's got dinosaurs in it. You collect resources and you kind of have to survive a bit. You have to drink water and, you basically are like starting with nothing and then you can like build these crazy things. Like, so I was playing on Sunday and all of a sudden this like gigantic flying bird flew up to me. And it had a house on its back, and like it dropped.
Now, is that something that someone else built?
Yeah, someone else built it. It was another person. So when you join the server, there's like, you know, you can pick what server you want to start or play on, and it tells you how many people are on that server, and it can be out of 100. You can have up to 100 people on it. And so I picked one that had about 30 people on it. And a lot of these people, like, you can see them chatting in general chat, and they, like, know each other. They play all the time on this server, and they've gotten all kinds of crazy sweet gear. And so this was one of those players that had played a lot on this particular server and had a lot of stuff and just decided to play a game with one of the new guys on the server. And he told me to pick. He, like, dropped two different boxes and told me to pick one. And it was just weird. It was just a weird... It felt like a quest in a game. Like, it was, like, one of those encounters where it felt scripted, even though it was a human doing it.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
It was fun. So, I haven't played it a lot since then, but that was fun. And then played a little Destiny, beat a raid. And I haven't played it yet, but probably by the time you hear this, I will have played the Diablo 3 expansion with the Necromancer just came out.
Yeah.
And it's $20, which is a little pricey for a character, but yeah. I bought it anyway. So really looking to play that. And I'd love to play with some of you guys, maybe Adam or Mike.
Us
yeah.
guys?
Yeah, you guys.
Oh,
maybe
I'm into
we could
it.
Stream it. It'd be kind of fun. But you know, we'll see what happens. No promises, audience at home, but we're going to try to make that happen. Cause I feel like that'd be fun.
Now, you can play the Necromancer in the regular game.
I think so. I haven't tested it yet. I would like to test it.
Yeah.
With someone that hasn't bought the Necromancer.
Let me know. You got on PS4.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know.
Okay. I will do that. That's it.
All right. Yeah. I think it's time to nip into the news, David.
The news.
Yes.
The news. I don't know. I would rather do the news.
That was higher.
A lot of stank on that stank. One.
Yeah, he definitely put some stank on that one. And I'm impressed.
Well, thank you.
I came away impressed.
Well, thank you so much.
So, since we're recording early, we're not going to do a ton of news tonight.
Yeah, we don't have a lot. News.
I think it'll be a good thing to just quickly touch on a couple of these. One of which is, I feel like we would be remiss, and you guys know, if there's one thing you guys know about me, I hate being remiss. I hate it.
Fair.
Do you guys enjoy being remiss?
I'm indifferent.
I would prefer not to be. You know, if I have any choice. So,
all right. So, anyway, we would be remiss if we did not mention the SNES Classic or the Super the Super NES Classic that was announced.
Oh, I'm so excited about this thing.
And what is actually, you know, to kind of jump into Eric, a friend of the show, and OG super best friend, Eric Kruger's question.
What is
the proper way to say that?
Oh, we're stepping on toes, are we?
This is a very good question.
Yeah, but I figure, why not? You say the Super NES Classic or the SNES Classic?
Or the SNES Classic.
Or the SNES Classic.
I want to say the SNES Classic is probably the correct way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But man, SNES Classic is just so much more fun.
SNES? Right? SNES is the worst SNES way you can say that.
Isn't it
I don't like saying SNES.
SNES is like a booger word.
I'm just going to put that out there.
It's a booger word.
The more you say it, the weirder it sounds. Isn't that what you mean by booger word?
Yes.
Because that's what I
taste. Oh, so the more you say booger, the weirder it sounds?
Oh, it really... Try it. Try saying booger 20 times.
It's just booger. A very nasally word. There's that part.
Yeah.
Booger's not a nasally word, though. I'd have to try really hard to say it with my nostrils.
Well, and booger. You know, it's okay if you don't, because it's an auditory nightmare. I can really get down. I mean, I usually say SNES. I can get down with Super NES.
I like Super NES myself.
SNES is right out.
SNES is out.
I don't know. Right. I like SNES, but I know it's wrong. So,
all right. So the Super NES Classic announced a few really amazing. I mean, there's a ton of awesome games. I'll just run through the list: Contra 3, Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Final Fantasy 3, F-Zero, Kirby Superstar, Kirby's Dream Course.
So exciting!
Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past, Mega Man X, Secret of Mana, Star Fox 2. What?
Yeah, that's crazy because that game has not been released.
I know, and pretty crazy because the creator of the game actually found out, you know, during this announcement that they had finished it and released it, or were going to release it.
Yeah.
I think that's insane.
And the team that made it went out and, like, had a release party, you know?
So weird.
So, yeah, it's very weird.
Or I guess I'm assuming that they finished it. But well, maybe they just are releasing it.
They were very close to finishing it. They were like 95% done, supposedly. There are, you know, what's funny is there are ROMs out there of
right,
an 80% finished version of the game. Yeah, so, you know, they just Nintendo did their thing and they put a little more finishing touch on it and they're releasing it. But the weird thing is you have to actually play the first level of Star Fox 1 to unlock it for some reason.
Weird.
Okay, whatever.
All right, yeah, I'm in.
Nintendo's got a Nintendo a little bit. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, as long as we're intersecting some tweets in here, I thought we got another tweet about this SNES Classic.
Oh, we got one about...
Oh, yeah.
If,
let's do it.
Do you know which one it is, or do you need me to remind you?
I don't have it because I think it was in the Discord, but I think it was something along like what was the best game in the package.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Simpod said, what is the best game on the SNES Classic? Mm. And also, is it pronounced SNES, SNES, or Super Nintendo?
Oh, was it part of the same question? So Adam only gave us half the data.
I was just going off of memory. Just hardcore.
Good memory, sir.
Hardcore memory. You.
Hardcore memory.
I think a lot of people are going to either say Link to the Past or Super Metroid.
Solid picks.
Super Mario Kart, though. Super Mario Kart.
Super Mario Kart's good.
Super Mario RPG.
Yeah. That's the one I'm most excited about because I've been wanting to stream that game forever. So I'm excited to, like, you know, have if I can get one, to have an easy way to stream that.
You won't be able to get one. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But
I will miraculously get one without trying.
Yeah, like you did with the NES Classic, which I'm so mad about.
I guess I should mention that. Yeah, so my shout out to my buddy John. If you're listening, John, thank you. He had an NES Classic he got because he's got the inside hookup at a Best Buy. And basically, he got one and took it home, played it a few times. It has sat there, partially because the controller cable is so short, and he never invested in an extension.
It's such an easy problem to fix, though.
Yeah,
the cables aren't hard to find.
Yeah, the cables are not hard to find, and also there's like for $25 you can get a a very five-star, very well-rated on Amazon wireless NES controller. So I'm just probably going to do that. But yeah, I mean, so anyway, he was just like, you know what? I haven't played it. You can just have it. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So pretty awesome. I need to get that hooked up and get the controller and everything.
I need to get that hookup.
Yeah. So,
anyway, I know what Eric wants us to say. I know what the correct answer is for him. Would you like me to say what it is?
Yes. Earthbound?
Earthbound.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. He wants us to say Earthbound. I've never played Earthbound, so I will probably play that after Super Mario RPG. Yeah, if I get one.
I started it, but I don't think I ever finished it.
Yeah. All I can remember, probably my strongest memories of living in Nashville were just Eric freaking out about Earthbound. Every time we talked about stuff, he was just always freaking out. Because he played a little bit later, I think, in the console's lifespan. So, like, you know, I was playing Mario 64 or something, and he was, like, ranting about Earthbound. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of tough for me, because, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I was a Genesis kid.
Yeah.
So I was playing everything on Genesis, talking about how Genesis has blast processing. It's the best.
Which
it's
is way not better than a smelly thing. Old,
better than smelly old Super NES.
Mm.
But anyway, so I actually have not played a ton of these games. So I played Star Fox, loved it. Played F-Zero, loved that. I've played a little bit of Final Fantasy III. And I played Donkey Kong Country like crazy.
Oh, I think Casey would be remiss if we didn't talk about this. Mike, is it Final Fantasy III?
He would be remiss?
Yeah. Well, because is it Final Fantasy III?
No, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about it. Casey, he can be remiss on his own time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Casey would be upset if we didn't talk about this. Thank you for that correction, Adam. don't want to frustrate our podcast listeners by using words incorrectly. But okay, Mike. So Final Fantasy III or Final Fantasy VI, what is the correct name to call it?
Context is incredibly important there.
Just what is the right one? You always know which is right.
Well, and this is where things get confusing, because Final Fantasy III is going to be correct for a lot of people. It definitely came out as Final Fantasy III here in the US, but only for the Super Nintendo. I mean, you can still find this game, at least on the Vita and the PlayStation and, you know, other platforms. But on all their platforms, I believe it's referred to as Final Fantasy VI, which is the Japanese numbering system, because it was the sixth game. So six is correct. However, we didn't get all those releases when the Final Fantasy games were coming out here. So it was the third one to come to the US, because I guess, and it makes sense, right? At the time, if they released, okay, here's Final Fantasy I, and here's Final Fantasy IV, and here's Final Fantasy VI, like, people would probably be like, why are they jumping numbers gives? Like this? What gives? So we got what we got. So if you're referring specifically to the Super Nintendo release, it's totally okay to say three.
Hmm. Okay.
Any other release, this is a surprising case where you are okay with people having multiple opinions on something, you know?
Well, only because both are correct.
Oh, okay.
They're both correct.
There you go.
It's just kind of rare for you. I still don't fully know how to feel.
Don't know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
let's get down to it, though. What are you guys' picks? Favorite games?
Or favorite games game. SNES classic.
Not plural. You don't get to pick more than one.
I think mine is Super Mario World. Okay. It's just very good. It's my favorite. I think it's my favorite Mario, like 2D Mario game.
Sure.
I just have so many fond memories of, like, I don't know. I never actually owned it until way at the end of the console's lifespan. And so I have fond memories of, like, visiting my cousin at her house and just locking myself in her room and playing Super Mario World, you know, on a family vacation or whatever. And it's just very fond memory. So
I'm having a tough time here, because it's down between Donkey Kong Country, Street Fighter 2, and Super Mario Kart for me.
Would you really pick Street Fighter 2 over those other ones, though?
I mean, I think there was this one summer where, I don't know even who it was at this point, but someone loaned me and my brother a Super Nintendo with Street Fighter 2, and I don't know if I probably played more hours of Street Fighter 2 than any other fighting game outside of maybe Tekken 2.
Goodness.
On the PlayStation. But like, gosh, we played so much Street Fighter 2. So I guess I got to go Donkey Kong Country.
All right.
I loved that game.
A lot of logic.
Oh man, I played so much Street Fighter 2, so I got to go with Donkey Kong Country. It's very good.
Oh, we didn't even finish the list. There's Super Castlevania, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario Kart, Mario RPG, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, and Super Punch Out. So many supers.
All the supers.
All of those supers.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Anyway, maybe we should move on to the next topic, huh?
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, that's just that one news item. I can go all night on that.
I mean, the next news item is what I meant.
But yeah,
to say.
I mean, $80 for the Super NES Classic. And I even caught myself calling it the SNES Classic in there somewhere. So,
because you know in your heart it's right.
Both of them are correct, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's another situation that would.
Now, what
more
about
than one right answer?
Now, I have heard people call it the SNES.
That is a crime, and you go to jail.
That is
for
the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I think.
That's serious. The SNES. I've heard people call it that, and it's really weird. Yeah.
You have to call the police
if
that happens.
Who were these people? Yeah.
Drunkards and hobos, I'm sure.
Yeah.
July PlayStation Plus games were revealed.
I'm actually excited about these. It's crazy. This is like the first time ever.
They're actually giving away like big AAA games, which is awesome. Game of Thrones from Telltale, which I already own.
Yeah, me too.
And then
that's good.
Also Until Dawn coming out. Both of those for PS4.
I'm willing to give that game another shot. Maybe stream it.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait until the spooky time of the year, but I'll play it.
Okay.
All right, and then we also have Don't Die, Mr. Robot, which is cross-buy for PS4 and Vita. So, and then also for Vita, Elemental with a 4.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. But, you know, it's pretty cool. PlayStation 3 owners can get Tokyo Jungle, which is a really weird,
it's a
awesome
really
game.
Weird game.
And, and then Iron Galaxy Studios' Darkstalkers Resurrection.
Okay.
And what's this about this PlayLink? Do you guys know anything about this?
No.
It's a new suite of games which features social games that are designed to be played with smartphones. Oh, okay. So that's like that new horror game where it's played with like four people and you're basically like I think it's also made by the Until Dawn folks.
Okay.
Supermassive Games?
I don't know what their name is.
I believe. But yeah,
Infinite State. Nope. Yeah, it is Supermassive. Yep.
Yeah, it's a Supermassive game.
Ignore first thing I said.
They have a new spooky game coming out where, basically you sit there on your phone and you can vote on what you want the character to do. So you could play with like a whole group of people.
Oh, that's really cool.
And it's almost like a Heavy Rain or Until Dawn or something like that, where you know you're making these like. Almost like QTE type choices, but you know, it's like a choose your own adventure, but with a whole group. So that's kind of a cool idea.
Really cool. It feels like the future. There's another game that does something similar to that called Jackbox Party Pack.
Yes.
I've actually streamed it a couple times on our YouTube and Twitch, where you like run a game on your PS4, but then everyone connects to it with their phones and they can like enter in. It's almost like, you know, it's like a board game sort of, where you like enter in answers to questions that appear on the screen, and then you all vote on which one you like the most, and then that person win. Whoever gets the most points wins, and it's very fun. And so I like this like almost party game idea, where you like all you have a thing running on a console, and but then you can all connect to it with your phone, and then like influence it in some way. It's pretty cool.
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So, are you guys super jazzed about getting movies based on Borderlands and Duke Nukem?
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Oh, man.
By the way, this story was submitted by Deadwords.
Yes, it was. It was. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Deadwords. Friend of the show. I just hope that Duke Nukem is played by none other than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, but is he a little old for that now?
And not if he's wearing those shades.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You won't even notice.
Yeah, maybe
Just
you're
CG.
Right.
CG him.
Yeah, old look, can
for,
we hear
old for young?
Can we hear like a Duke Nukem line as Arnold? Do you think you got something like that in you? Do you know any of his lines?
He comes in, he just kicks in the door, blasts some fools, and then he goes like, "Hail to the king, baby! Come on!"
I like it. I like it.
I would love it.
You know, you have a really good Arnold impression. I've never heard you do that before. usually Arnold's just there, you know?
Usually it's actually Arnold. Yeah. And, you know, he probably wouldn't enjoy the fact that I am imitating him.
Oh, yeah. I like how you looked. You checked your door to make sure he wasn't there.
But seriously, folks, who would you like to see play Duke Nukem? I'm just curious. This is my Twitter question for you guys.
That's good. I like
No one. It shouldn't exist.
Yeah,
but we know it has to exist, or it at least has been optioned. It may never come out, but what do you think?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, hail to the king, baby.
I don't know. Like big wide eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I
don't think Nick Cage has the hairline for Duke Nukem anymore.
So this is like a little bit off model for the character, maybe, but I just feel like Terry Crews would be really fun to watch doing crazy Duke Nukem stuff, just like running around. Like, it would have to be more Terry Crewsian. I don't know. For some reason, I would love to see him in a movie like that, and this might be the perfect excuse. Maybe they could still give him the blonde hairstyle. That would be kind of a fun, you know, almost Dennis Rodman kind of look or something. But I don't know.
I love Terry Crews. I love him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I did not enjoy him in that Crackdown 3 trailer thing.
Oh, no.
It was just like, it was too much. It was too much Crews.
Too much Crews, huh?
Yeah, he cruised
too much
cruise
for you. Although I will say his Old Spice commercials are my favorite of all the Old Spice commercials.
They're good.
They're basically just him shouting and then flexing his pecs alternatingly.
What's not to like?
Exactly.
What's not to like? This is one of those things. He's got to be real careful with that stuff, because I think like in, you know, 5 years, like, we could be like so burnt out. Like, you know how Jack Black got like super big, everyone loved him, and then like all of a sudden he didn't get cast in anything anymore because it was like everyone got Jack Black fatigue.
Yeah, but now he's in that Jumanji, which looks like something else, huh?
Yeah.
Have you seen that Jumanji trailer?
I just hope that they make a licensed tie-in video game of the Jumanji reboot.
Oh, that would make a whole lot of sense. That's what I want, awful. For sure.
What about Borderlands, though? Like, Handsome Jack. Let's assume Handsome Jack is in there. Like, who should play Handsome Jack?
I don't know. What's that guy's name? Zac Efron? I don't know. You just got to think like a really, like a handsome guy that can be smarmy, you know?
Yeah. I'm not attracted to Zac Efron myself, David.
No, I'm not either. But I can recognize when someone's handsome or not. I don't have to be attracted to them to see it. No?
I don't know, Mike. What do you think? Methinks he doth protest too much.
You're the one protesting, sir.
All right, so I'm gonna skip up because I don't know anything about the Hearthstone one.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's just a weird, confusing. China has a lot of laws about loot boxes, and Blizzard is trying to find, like, basically loot boxes. You have to like know the percentage of what you're getting, and Blizzard doesn't like that at all. So they're like trying all kinds of crazy schemes to get around that new law that China has. It's just basically, read the article if you want. It's on our subreddit, but it goes into a lot of depth, and it's weird. It's kind of scumbaggy, if you ask me. So anyway.
Yeah. All right. And then the last one I just want to touch on real quick.
We just want to break Mike's heart really right now.
Mike. Yeah. Mike, are you terribly, I know we talked about this a little bit before earlier today, but I mean, are you terribly surprised that Mass Effect Andromeda is not getting any single player DLC?
Oh, no, not surprised at all. Like I said, I'm having a lot of fun with Andromeda, but it is missing that kind of like that special sauce that kind of created the trilogy. I think when I finish this one, I'll kind of be okay stopping there. I still think I'll enjoy it through the end, but I'm not, at least halfway through right now, I'm not hankering for more store DLC from them.
Mm. But it's sad, right? I mean, because
it is sad. Yeah.
When it comes to Mass Effect, some of their DLC story missions have historically been their best. You know,
the Shadow Broker DLC from Mass Effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, top notch.
Yeah, I loved that when I played, because I got the Mass Effect trilogy and played Mass Effect 2 as part of that. So it came with the, with that Shadow Broker piece, and I didn't even realize it wasn't part of the main game. I just played it as a regular level, and then found out later it was DLC, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that was easily on the same caliber as any one of these other side missions. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was so good.
And yeah, and then I found, of course, my blue alien love,
Liara.
At the end, yeah.
No, back off. She's mine.
Yeah, why don't we hop into some tweets?
Ooh, yeah, tweets. Some tweets going.
Yes.
I'm excited about tweets. You excited about tweets?
I'm quite excited.
Gonna pumped. Oh. Pumped, as some say.
Attach my old tablet here so I can read these.
Whoa. Mike's turning into like a grandpa. Yeah, let me. Either that or an old prospector. I'm going to go wrestle me up a tablet.
Is there any difference between those two? I would say no.
Well, my grandpa wasn't a prospector. Maybe yours
Do you know that?
I do.
How well did you know him?
Very well. I saw him all the time when I was growing up. He did not live in California.
Well, I mean, there's prospectors in other places.
Yeah,
not in New Jersey though.
Well,
I mean,
you'd be surprised.
How closely were you watching him though? Like, what if he was slipping off to do some prospecting on the side?
I mean, I guess there's a chance, but
okay,
I would just be so surprised. Let's put it that way.
We should just move on.
Okay, first to a question, which is, just I think a perfect question to set the mood for how I want the rest of these questions to go. Mm-hmm. Julianus Soder asks, boxers or briefs?
This isn't really a video game question.
It's
though.
Not,
is that,
but I'm very excited to find out because I don't know for you guys anyway.
I say both.
And I say, why choose the boxer brief?
Well, the boxer brief that's what is the way to go.
Wait, are you telling me all of us wear boxer briefs?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yes.
All three of us wear boxer briefs, guys. His question was irrelevant.
It's the choice of the super best friends.
Yeah, there it is. If you're in the market for some new underwear, try the boxer brief. It's very good.
Yeah. There we go.
Paid for by Boxer Brief Farmers of America.
They're farmers of this. Okay.
They pluck them right off the trees.
Yeah,
Just as is.
Sure.
I mean, coverage and support. You can't beat that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't beat both.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that, you know?
Yeah. Regular briefs are just weird, and boxers, you know, they're just not good.
I still wear boxers occasionally when I feel like I want a little bit more modesty. If I'm just wearing boxers,
say
I'm gonna walk around the neighborhood in just underwear,
right?
I'm gonna go for my regular boxers because I don't need to be like
advertising.
Exactly. I don't want to be stumbling people, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
They're going to be looking over here.
It's for them.
Yeah. To protect them and their hearts.
Gotcha.
Next question comes from Fed. They asked, have you tried Miitopia or the Miitopia demo on 3DS? You should. I'm having so much fun with it. I may even make characters of you guys.
First of all, I want to say, yes, Fed, do that. Super Best Fed, by the way, is what we're supposed to call him. He's got his own category on the Discord.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Best Fed.
My apologies.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What kind of name is Fed anyway?
Oh,
it's
Arnold.
Crazy.
I didn't even know you were here.
Fed, it's like, what are you, some kind of federale? Come on. It's all about special forces. It's special forces over here.
I
John
get it.
Matrix. The name is John Matrix.
Wait, which movie is that from?
Commando.
Oh, okay.
From my hit movie, Commando. Because the reason it was a hit is in one scene. It's just one scene. I kill like 90 dudes. at the end. And that's not even counting the ones in the buildings I blew up. Those are just the ones you see as I like throw knives through them and shoot them and stuff. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's amazing.
Fed. Am I right? Fed.
What?
Thank you, Arnold. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you.
That was a special request from Fed in the Discord. So that's why that happened. Yeah, there's some context for everyone who's listening. He's very confused.
Oh, hang on. We never answered his question. I never played the Miitopia demo.
I don't own a 3DS.
Arnold kicked in the door. I just started raving.
I have a 3DS. I might try it. It looks really fun, but I haven't played it yet.
Nah, I don't own a 3DS. I like games that look good.
Now, can I just say, it is a dream. It is a dream of mine one day we have this as a video podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Arnold really shows up and does a guest spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
That's my dream. Okay. That's my dream.
How much do you think he knows about video games?
A lot.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you've heard him on the show many times.
You're right.
And he hasn't been on the video version.
Yeah. You know,
so.
You're right. So I'm recording another test video, and I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do when he's talking right then. Anyway.
So here's what I would say, though. If you were going to create us in this Miitopia, I would recommend maybe substitute me, because again, no one cares if I'm there or not. But put in Rumpa Dumps the Party Grandpa.
He's good.
He probably deserves to live again.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
you killed him.
I did.
Poor Rumpa Dumps.
Rumpa Dumps. I think he lives on a server somewhere.
I don't know.
No, they Nintendo said if you deleted. What was it? Miitomo. If you deleted Miitomo from your iPhone or from your device, all the data would be lost forever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So,
and I definitely did that.
Yeah. So I don't know where he exists. If he does,
he's on a tape backup somewhere.
Maybe.
I think he is. I hold out hope that Party Grandpa's still alive.
Josh Bailey asks, in an alternate world where the Switch is an abysmal failure, would you rather Microsoft or Sony buy Nintendo as a first-party developer?
I know what you guys are going to pick.
I don't
know. My answer might surprise you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Oh. Well, no, but which one would you want? Which one would you rather buy Nintendo?
I would actually rather have Microsoft buy Nintendo. And here's the reason.
Yeah,
because competition is very good, right?
Okay.
Everybody wins when these big, huge, you know, publishers, console makers are you know, coming out firing on all cylinders, right?
Okay.
I think Microsoft, it's probably more likely that Sony would buy them just because they're a Japanese company, and Japanese companies tend to be a little more nationalistic in that way. Where they'd probably be more apt to sell to another Japanese company. But I would say that Sony is not hurting for IP right now.
Like, okay.
Microsoft, it would make more sense for Microsoft to buy Nintendo up because, and there's a precedent for it also. They bought, you know, Minecraft up because it's this huge property.
They bought Rare.
But like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, but like right now, Microsoft is in this bad spot with their IP where, like, you know, Halo and Gears are aging. They're getting really long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And they need fresh blood as far as like successful IP, you know?
Yeah.
And not to say Mario is fresh blood, but I'm just saying like it's a brand that just keeps on giving forever.
It's kind of evergreen.
It is at this point. Like, so I think Microsoft, I would like to see Microsoft buy Nintendo up and have them be a first party developer. It would be such an awesome thing to see, like, Xbox, you know, with Mario running around on there.
It'd be weird. It would take me so long to get used to. But the one interesting thing about it is it would let Rare and Nintendo work together again, which
is
something every Nintendo fan probably wants.
Sure.
Ever.
Now, I would say, though, it's a lot more likely that if the Switch had been an abysmal failure, and we didn't know, right? We didn't know if it was. It could have easily been.
Mm-hmm.
But if it had been, it would probably be a lot more likely that Nintendo just is independent, and they just are like Sega in that way, where they just stop making hardware and they just make multi-platform games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
That would be the best thing, I think, really. I mean, if I could play Mario on my Vita, right?
Pretty great.
I'm a Vita. Pretty Vita great. 2.
You mean the Switch?
I'm a Vita 2. 2.0.
All right. It's fine.
Yeah. Joseph Grimm asked, what are some gaming faux pas that are in some of your favorite games?
So now I saw this tweet, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out what he means by that. Like, what is a gaming faux pas? Give me some examples.
I feel like it's we're talking about gaming faux pas like that the developer has made, right? Like something.
So what is that called? QuickTime events? Is that a faux pas?
Yeah, yeah. You could say if that's your opinion, you could say yeah, definitely that or. Like, Mike, you were talking about Mass Effect with the characters that were just... the NPCs were just totally not impressed by all this awesome stuff
you
were doing.
Yeah, yeah. Andromeda, I don't know if this this counts, but for me, it was definitely a huge miss. Like, when I complete a mission and I do a huge event, or at least what I thought was a huge event, like, save an entire planet, and then you leave, and just like, okay, cool, there's another marker on your map you can go to now. Like...
There's no fanfare. Nobody's
zero
impressed.
Zero fanfare. Like, no one cares about anything that you're doing in that game.
It's kind of true, actually.
Like, shouldn't there be a cutscene with, like, people saying how awesome I am?
I expected that to happen, and it didn't.
I don't know if this is a faux pas exactly, but, you know, that Batman fighting style... is sure starting to show up in every single game now.
But you said on our very last episode.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I get where David's going with this. It's like showing up to a party wearing the same dress.
Yeah. Like, it's a great dress, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's a faux pas. You know, like, get your own mechanics, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. don't get me wrong. I love that mechanic. It's the most satisfying form of combat I've ever felt in my life. But... then maybe there's another one out there.
Sure.
Maybe give it a shot, you know?
So, now I know the question is gaming faux pas that are in games that I actually like, or that I love,
sure.
rather. But all I can think of is gaming faux pas that ruined games for me.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine, too. So we can play fast and loose. It's our podcast.
One of them...
we make the rules.
For me, a gaming faux pas that is like a deal breaker is when... the developer is clearly trying for the characters to be really cool and really funny.
Yeah, okay, yep.
And they're just trying so hard to make that happen, and it's just not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a great example is Dante from the DMC.
Oh my gosh.
Just the worst.
Oh man, they tried so hard to make him cool and edgy and everything, and I just hated it so mad. so bad. And then, like... I had the same feeling about, oh gosh, what was the name of the game? It's escaping me. Well, we can move on. But anyway,
yeah,
that's my, like, I hate, and I'm sure there are games that I like that, probably Crash Bandicoot is, one like that where they try to give him so much tude and it's just not, I don't care.
Oh man. Yeah,
I still
really
love
care.
Those games. I love those games. I'm probably going to pick up that Insane trilogy. What is it? Insanity? Trilogy?
I don't know what it's called.
Whatever.
It's one
it is.
Of those.
The PS4
for sure.
Crash Bandicoot. but yeah, like, it's not something that ruins every game, but I would say I love the Crash Bandicoot games, but
fair enough.
But yeah, that's a gaming faux pas for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Travis Roberts asked, if you could pick two video game characters to be your parents, who would you pick?
This question is
I think it's
good.
Easy.
I do too.
Nate and Elena.
Ah, it's the same one. I knew it.
Wait, who are they?
Nate and Elena from Uncharted 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Nate isn't old enough to be my dad.
You're going to grow up on a beach house?
Yeah.
You get the coolest parents in the world.
But you're not 12.
I could be.
Well, yeah. I could be.
I don't know. I feel like Nathan Drake is probably like 10 years older than me tops. And that would be weird to have a dad that's only 10 years older than me.
What?
So I'm going to go with Sully, actually.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Like, well, you know, he'd be a little bit,
yeah.
What's the word? Like a loose cannon. You like, he might teach me some things before I'm ready to learn about them.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, and who's mom in this scenario?
Yeah, that's what I want
to
know.
I'm trying to figure that out. I'm really trying to figure that out, actually.
And And David, have you considered the secondhand smoke?
You know, that would be an unfortunate consequence of this. But I don't know. He just seems like he'd be a cool dad.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have some health issues. I'm just saying.
So this is a little weird.
Certainly not Kratos.
No, I feel like Flemeth would be an interesting mom from Dragon Age.
Flemeth.
Is that her name? Flemeth?
That's a terrible name. Okay, yeah. That's a bad name. But yes, I think you're right.
She's a very interesting character. She would make for a very interesting mom, but she's a bit oppressive. So it would be very interesting to have like an oppressive mom, but then a really easygoing dad. I don't know. I feel like it'd be a very strange, child. I don't know.
It's going to be really strange anyway, because she's like a witch.
Yeah. She's a witch of the wilds, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And she can turn into a dragon too. So.
NTFTT. That's no.
Wait, Mike.
Hold on. What? Hold on. Wait.
Hold on. We're stopping.
Who are your video games?
Oh, I already told you. Elena. Yeah.
Oh, I'm changing it. I'm changing mine.
Oh,
I'm changing mine.
Okay, you don't want to be twinsies. I see. Fine.
I'm going Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
But I get to know that he's Batman.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That seems
that's
likely.
Pretty cool.
Okay, and I don't have to go out and fight crime also, because that's dangerous.
I don't think that's gonna fly.
I mean, eventually, doesn't Bruce Wayne's son replace him?
Well, I would be up for I guess I would be up for taking up the mantle. I don't want to be his boy ward. That's all.
Okay.
I just want to have a normal childhood dad. You go fight the Joker. That's fine. Go.
You know what's
leave
funny
me in
about
my room?
You know what's funny about not wanting to be his boy ward? The first actor who played Robin in the 60s show, his name is Burt Ward.
I know.
So that's incredible. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's how he got.
Who's mom in the scenario? Yeah. Just so I know.
Yeah, who's mom?
Talia al Ghul, maybe.
Okay. All right.
If we're being accurate, maybe I don't know.
I mean,
wasn't accurate.
That does mean you're gonna be Damien, and it means you're gonna be kind of a douche. But
wow, gosh. Well, I guess if the shoe fits, right?
NTFTT, which is I believe No Time for Time Travel Pod.
Okay.
And I know we're running kind of long questions, but I think this is a good one.
This is good. This is really fun.
If Nintendo follows up the SNES Classic with an N64 Classic, what games would you put on it? Let's keep it small because this list could go on forever.
Yeah.
One or two that you would pick.
The number one thing that has to happen.
GoldenEye.
With the N64 Classic. It has to come with four controllers. So it might end up being $100 instead of $80. You know, like, because the SNES Classic comes with two. The NES Classic came with one controller.
Yeah.
So the N64 Classic would have to come with four. So first of all, four. Because all the best games on the N64 have four players. So yeah, GoldenEye number one has to be there.
Mario Kart 64. Yeah.
Mario Kart 64. Star Fox 64.
Yeah.
No, it has to be.
Yeah, that's gotta be.
No, it has
to be.
It'll be on there, but yeah.
But now, like, what now? You know, like,
those are my two. That's all I care about.
Maybe Banjo-Kazooie. No, they can't do Banjo-Kazooie because Microsoft owns that now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, they can't do Donkey Kong 64. Well, maybe they can do Donkey Kong 64, actually.
Now, what about Dr. Mario 64? You got to get Dr. Mario 64 in there.
There was a Dr. Mario 64.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Player Dr. Mario.
What about you got to have Bomberman 64 in there?
Yeah. I didn't love that one. Okay, so I have a couple here.
So okay, so we've already gone like a time, full minute. Yeah, Mask. I was going to say you guys aren't going to say Ocarina of Time. Holy smokes.
You have to put Majora's Mask in there too probably. If you're going to do Ocarina.
Both of those.
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
Well, also Wave Race. Wave Race was really fun. I liked that game. A lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an F-Zero?
Yes, there was.
Yeah. And I heard people really liked that one.
I don't
but
remember
I never
that
played
one at all.
What about Star Wars Shadows of the Empire?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of a bad game.
It wasn't very good.
But
I definitely played
now,
it.
What about, We got to get 1080 snowboarding at
okay,
least.
Okay, now,
yeah,
now
for
I'm with
sure.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that one.
Okay.
We need more third-party ones, though. We've got to think of maybe Turok?
Yeah, Turok?
Yeah.
What about Paper Mario?
Paper Mario's okay.
That's very good. That's a very good one.
And I can almost guarantee Pilot Wings would be on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never played it, but I never would
either. No affinity for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've filled out a pretty good list.
Okay.
Pretty good list.
Okay.
I'm proud of us,
guys.
We've
run really long on Twitter questions.
We did say Mario 64, right?
Yeah. Okay. That was the first one I said.
That would be blasphemy if we didn't.
I'm going to have to trim out a couple of questions, maybe save some of these for next time.
Okay.
Let's finish this up with, how about somebody from Facebook, since that's not a place we get a lot of interaction these days. We're working on it. Kevin McDougal.
I remember that name.
Actually.
I actually didn't know he listened to the podcast.
Well,
that's
everyone
cool.
listens,
I think,
David.
I messaged him after I told the Dave's Insanity Sauce in Kevin McDougal's eye story, and he listened to that episode. So now I think he's checking it out.
Nice.
He's on board.
It's cool. Hey, thanks for listening, Kevin.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But seriously, how annoying are the Glint Hawks and Stormbirds when you try to aim up at them and the camera goes into the grass or foliage?
It's a question for you guys, because I haven't experienced that.
So I definitely ran into that a few times.
Yeah, a little bit.
Especially when you're standing in tall grass and then you swing the camera down to try to shoot, up in the sky, hit a bird, and then you can't see anything.
No, you can't.
And that's... It's one of those video gamey things that takes you out of the experience for a second, but I don't know. I didn't run into it as much with the Glint Hawks just because they were usually dead pretty fast, but man, the Stormbirds, they take so much damage that, yeah,
yep.
For sure. Those guys got to be trouble, which is why you need to be able to hack them and ride them around the land Marahute style.
I agree. And I'm going to save the rest of these for next time.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for submitting those questions, everyone. Those they're super awesome.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing to take away, from this first couple segments of the show is that now I'm going to sell you things.
I bet you guys can't wait. I mean, this is always my favorite part of the podcast, you know?
All right. So, Loot Crate.
No agreement there, huh?
Luke.
Okay.
David, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you or a loved one ever find your body and your shelves woefully devoid of gaming merchandise?
Oh my gosh, all the time.
Do you ever suffer from gamenesia, forgetting that you even love video games because your life is so devoid of gaming goods?
Yes, all the time.
Hi, I'm the internet's Adam Redding, and I'm here to tell you there's hope. Loot Crate is offering an opportunity.
No, you have to hold this together. I get to laugh. You have to be professional.
Loot Crate is offering an opportunity to save 10% on any lootcrate.com subscription, allowing you to get the help you need, filling your empty shelves, walls, and clothes hangers with these sweet, sweet clothing and collectibles.
Man, it sounds great.
Yeah, this month's theme is booty.
Oh, my.
Oh, wait, now, what kind of booty are we talking about here?
Loot Crate be hoisting the mainsail.
Oh, okay,
the Jolly Roger. There's exclusive items from, and this is Loot Gaming, of course. This exclusive items from Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. I think it's like a little Edward, what's his name, figurine.
Colin.
Uncharted 4, Sea of Thieves, and Crash Bandicoot for some reason.
Everyone loves that pirate game, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That piratey game.
Yeah.
So including an exclusive figurine that I mentioned and a t-shirt. So sign up quickly at trylootcrate.com/SBFVGS because booty ends on 7/27.
Oh,
that
man.
Is
oh,
the 27th of July.
To hear.
So
the
you have
booty's coming to an end.
You have a few good weeks here. Get on that. Go to trylootcrate.com/SBFVGS.
A few precious weeks of booty left, guys.
trylootcrate.com/SBFVGS to start your new subscription. Enter promo code BRIDGE10, that's BRIDGE10, for that 10% savings.
It's nice.
I like it.
There's hope out there, guys. There's hope. David, your topic, good sir.
All right, well, hey, for my topic, I'm actually stealing a topic or a question that we got in our Discord server from Too Much Craig, because I really liked it, and also I'm kind of curious to see if we can get Mike to engage on this one a little bit. Because it's a topic that he doesn't love, and we're kind of working on that with him right now. So anyway, the topic goes as such. With Breath of the Wild being so different to the normal Zelda formula, what would you like to see Metroid Prime do differently? So they just announced Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo has completely reinvented Zelda. Like, Adam, you've played a little bit of Zelda, right? It's open world. There's cooking. There's all these, like, there's very little guidance of what you're supposed to do next.
Yeah, your weapons are destructible. Yeah. Like everything, there's so many new systems in there that have not been traditionally Zelda.
Yeah, there's like a few dungeons, but not very many. And, yeah. You know, it's just totally crazy in terms of Zelda. So, let's think about the Metroid Prime games. There's a lot I don't love about them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, Adam, have you played Metroid Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, have you played
specifically,
Metroid Prime? Yeah,
okay. Specifically Metroid Prime 3 on the Wii.
Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. So, you know, thinking about that and thinking about Metroid in general, like, because you just played Super Metroid as well. So in what ways would you take, because also Zelda, what Breath of the Wild did is they went back to some old Zelda things too. Way they designed the game, they designed it in like an old 2D looking engine. Like, just to, like, explore gaming concepts, which is crazy to me, but... So, anyway, let's Breath of the Wild, Metroid Prime.
I like it.
Yeah. So, we're just kind of brainstorming for Nintendo, since it's not coming out till next year at the earliest.
Sure.
You know? Well, yeah, and Reggie, as we established before, Reggie listens.
Yeah, Reggie's a big fan of the show, you know.
Now, some ground rules here.
Okay, sure.
Does it, only one for me, does it still have to be in first person? Is that what makes it a Prime game, or?
Yeah, I think for Metroid, for it to be called Metroid Prime, I think it has to be first person.
Okay. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Okay, so it does have to be first person. I would rather it not be as well, though, Mike, so I'm with you there. Third person would be great. But yeah, okay, so I'm going to start. Let's get two analog stick controls, huh?
Yeah, there we go. I feel like they have to at this point. Like, what if it came out and it didn't?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? If they make me waggle the right one to look around, I'll lose it. Yeah, David, I will lose it.
Yeah. So that's the no brainer on the list. But I just wanted to get the ball rolling there a little bit.
Yeah. So I think for Metroid Prime, they could totally reinvent it and have it be. You're Samus, it's first person, but, you know, it takes place in, you know, during World War One, and you're in the trenches, and there's, like, vehicles, and you could be, like, a tail gunner, you know.
Wait, is this 60 Wolfenstein?
players on one map, you know, and it's called Battlefield Metroid.
Okay.
One. Battlefield Metroid Prime One.
That is definitely reinventing Metroid, that's for sure.
No, instantly I think what came to my head with when I saw this question was I'd love to see, okay, because you know the Tomb Raider reboot games, basically they took a lot of inspiration from, of course, the old Tomb Raider stuff, but also games like Metroid, in that, you know, they would have these areas where you can see there's something weird there, but you don't have the ability to get there. So that's classic staple of Metroid games, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Metroid Prime did have that stuff in there. But yeah, I would for like sure. to
they
see
had, they had that scanning. You know, Batman had a scanner in it, the Batman yeah. Arkham Asylum. Metroid Prime had that before Batman did, mm-hmm. sort of.
Yeah, so I'd like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. And so, partially, I'd love to see what a Metroid Prime game looks like using, kind of taking a page back from Tomb Raider, which is, they have some of these linear areas, right, but also some wide open areas. You can maybe attack a certain area from different, vantage points, and like, or different, take different approaches to solve, you know, issues and or take on enemies. You know, I'd love to see that. If not going full blown Far Cry with it, wide open. Oh, can you imagine full blown wide open Metroid first person game? Like, oh, that would be nuts.
It would be nuts.
And you could even still have, even in that massive wide open type approach, you could even still have like certain areas, of course, that are locked off until you get the upgrade mm-hmm. or the new ability.
And like, you know, you have to have some corridors here and there and vents.
Yeah,
and
of course.
You got to morph ball in through some tight spaces, you know, like.
Yeah, why not?
Those are all necessary for sure. Man, when you said Far Cry, imagining like that giant map, and you can like there, you've got all these different little, like over here, you can liberate an outpost that maybe is being like attacked by a certain kind of alien or something. And you have to go like liberate that out. That's such a cool idea. Holy.
And there could even be like, some alien wildlife, right? That might attack you or might be indifferent to you or whatever, you know?
I think that'd be really goodness. Cool. Oh my God. Now, okay. Here's a question. Does the ship get involved at all? Like maybe this is going too far, but what if the planet's actually pretty big and you have to like fly your ship from one area to another? Like there's only certain landing zones. It's not like No Man's Sky where you can like land anywhere, but like you have to like fly to certain landing zones, or maybe that's just an automatic thing you get in your ship and you choose the different landing zones. Like maybe mm-hmm. it's almost like a teleport in that way. Although flying the ship would be pretty sweet, though.
I'm still waiting for someone to kind of hybridize that handcrafted feel for certain areas with, like, procedural, you know, type stuff in other areas, like, and do it right. Like, I think Beyond Good and Evil 2 might be that game. Where you can take off and land on planets, and there are specific cities that are like handcrafted, really cool, tight, you know, well designed areas. But then you could go off in the wilderness if you want and mess around and have like a whole planet there to explore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think that there's something there, and I don't know if anyone's really nailed it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that idea where, you get in the ship. I'd love to, like, literally walk into the ship, walk through it Millennium Falcon style, get in the cockpit, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, take off. Or I guess in Metroid, you just go to the top hatch and you lower down.
Yeah.
But whatever it might be. Yeah.
In Metroid Prime, there were cutscenes where you were, like, flying in the ship. But then you would just get to the area and you would be at that area. And then that was it. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love all of this. I'm very excited about this stuff. How about you, Mike? Any ideas? Anything?
So
anything you would be? It would be fun to see.
I played the first Metroid Prime and a little bit of the second one, but it's been many years. So you're going to refresh my memory.
Okay.
What was the kind of emphasis on storytelling in those games? Because I remember it being pretty light in the first one.
Well, there are cutscenes in the very beginning of the game, but then once you like get onto the main world,
mm-hmm.
The story kind of stops for a little while, and you just go straight into explore mode.
So
most of the gameplay is told through like your little scanner. You'll like scan these items and like read about them, stuff like that. Yeah. There were still cutscenes throughout, like I'm looking at some gameplay of it right now, mm-hmm. actually. And there are little bits of like, they'll cut to a close up of Samus as she's like going up an elevator. It is pretty sparse. So,
okay.
So I'm guessing your thing has, you would like to see some more story.
Well, yeah, I'm a little torn, right? Because I would like there to be a stronger emphasis on story, especially if it's going to be an open world type game. Mm-hmm. But the last time they did that, we got Other M, so...
It's so true. But the thing that made Other M kind of bad was they took away all of Samus's power. You know what I mean? Like, well, like she had to defer to a commander now. And, you know, she was like kind of whiny a little bit. Like she wasn't the strong, independent, you know, female lead that she's always been.
Yeah.
And like, so for example, in Metroid, what was it? Metroid Other M. The reason Samus didn't have power-ups wasn't because she didn't have the power-ups. It was because her commander hadn't authorized her to use the power-ups yet.
That's a rip-off.
It's such a lame idea. Like,
like, why would you send your soldiers out there and say, yeah, but you can't bring this gun. You can only bring
exactly.
this gun.
Oh, man. Also, the other problem with Madness. Other M was you only could control it with a Wiimote controller turned sideways with a D-pad and two buttons. And that was that was the whole game. What in the heck, Nintendo?
Those jerks. Bunch of jerks.
Yeah. So I think it's possible, though, to have a story that doesn't ruin the character of Samus like Other M did.
Yeah.
I just really want Samus to be like reporting to basically like jaded 80s cop, a police chief, uh-huh. you know, mm-hmm. be like, you go back out there and it's your badge, you know, and he's got a big cigar and he's like yelling at her. And she's like, you know, she just puts it down, puts the arm cannon on the desk and goes, see ya. And like walks out. And then she goes on the mission anyway. That's what I'm talking about. And maybe there's like a wisecracking sidekick.
Oh my goodness. You know what's funny is I'm looking at footage of Other M right now, and there are like wisecracking people in this cutscene that I'm looking at right now. Like that game was bad. I own that game, and it's just the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that gives me a little pause when it comes to like, oh man, I want a story, because if it's that story, maybe not.
Yeah, I can't imagine Metroid Prime 4 comes out and has this incredible story. You know, like, unless Machine Games has taken it on.
Or maybe
they can somehow weave a story out of Wolfenstein, like, that is awesome and compelling. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Give them Metroid Prime 4 and we'll see what we get.
You know, they could steal Amy Hennig away from that basically unannounced Star Wars game that they're working on.
I know. All we've seen is like a 2-second clip of it.
Yeah, in like a developer doc. So just you know, Amy Hennig's not doing a whole lot over there. Just get her on Metroid Prime 4's story. I'm sure she could do some really fun things with Samus's character.
Yeah, I can't wait though. I can't wait for next year, because I think we're probably going to see that game next year. E3
for sure. There's rumors that it will be coming out next year, but I think that might be a little too optimistic.
I got kind of the impression that they were like just starting.
I got that impression too, but Nintendo never shows games before, you know, they feel like they're ready to show. So yeah, you're right.
Oh no,
like,
I was talking about the Star Wars Amy Hennig game.
Yeah. I was like, really?
Metroid Prime next year, though.
I doubt it.
Maybe not come out, but I think we'll see gameplay.
I think we're probably like 2 or 3 years away from Metroid Prime 4.
I think Metroid Prime 4 is a 2019 game.
Okay. That's so far away, though. Can it be
David,
sooner?
I'm sorry I broke your heart.
My heart is broken.
This is
it's like that scene Revenge of the Sith, where Padme says, "Anakin, you're breaking my heart." Because, you know, the best dialogue is the kind that tells you exactly how you're feeling, you know? Like, that's
the best.
Well,
because how else are you going to know what the actors are supposed to be feeling?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so.
What
were you going to say before I so rudely interrupted you with a really bad quote?
It's gone. It's all gone. So Mike, here's a sub question off this
one.
Ooh.
Hit me with it.
So story is your main concern, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, if it has to be first person, then I kind of know what gameplay I'm getting already, so.
Yeah, so, but gameplay-wise, if you had to take a page out of some other book, or reinvent the wheel in a certain way, you know, with maybe a different genre or a different game kind of melded into Metroid Prime, like, what's the thing that makes you excited about it?
Well, now you're asking, like, I assume, in this made-up game that we're talking
this
about.
This made-up scenario that, okay, we assume there's a story, because that way, that's how they get Mike in the door.
Sure. That's how they get Mike in the door.
I don't know.
But mechanics-wise is what I'm looking for.
Man, I don't know. It's hard for me to get excited about another Prime game. I mean, Wolfenstein.
Now, why? Why is it hard for you to get excited?
I don't know. There's something about first-person Metroid that feels very wrong. It just does. It just doesn't feel right.
So in your perfect world, the best way for them to get you interested is to make Metroid Prime 4 side-scrolling?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love another great 2D adventure.
Well, it's coming out this year.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
We are. It's coming. It's going to be really good. It's probably going to get, I'm predicting it will get, 9 on Polygon.
Sure.
And probably, IGN and Kotaku will rate it. Well, they don't even do yes or no anymore, but Kotaku will have a very positive review.
I'm sure.
I'm thinking it'll sit around 87 on Metacritic. That's my current guess.
Okay.
How it's very precise.
Yeah.
Really specific.
Here's my last thing. I think the key to making Metroid Prime 4 a hit, a success, something that everyone will love.
Yeah.
Is to have you play as Samus a little bit, but then the rest of the game you play as Jameson Locke from Halo 5.
Oh, yeah, that everyone loves it when that happens. Like Metal Gear Solid 2, everyone loved that you mostly
play as Snake. You play as Snake a little bit, but then most of the time you're whiny old Raiden.
No one hates that at all. No one. Yeah.
People love that. Yeah. I think that's what they should do with Prime 4.
Yeah, 100%. I'm
play as like Samus's squad mate,
John.
John. John Matrix.
John Matrix.
Well, okay, now I'm back in.
Yeah, now.
Oh my gosh, that would be the greatest.
That would be the greatest. I concur.
Get up there and shoot the Metroids. You have to blast them quickly. They will kill you all. Come on. Samus, get out of here. I'll take it from here. Name's John Matrix.
He pushes her into lava. Oh, man.
All right.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's my topic. We just had a fun little brainstorming session.
Okay.
I like it. Nintendo, feel free to take all of those ideas.
Yeah. Every single one.
And use them all in one in the same monstrous Frankenstein's monster of a game.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how they do a side-scrolling open world game like Far Cry.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. End of the show plugs for men and women alike.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up with us. Indeed. Keep up with us at sbfvgs.com. We have links to our episodes, YouTube channel, social media, including Twitter, Facebook, and Discord, as well as SBFVGS merchandise. We have a t-shirt on Amazon. You can go on Amazon, find that there. Go to our subreddit at sbfvgs.reddit.com to submit news items like Travis and like Casey did.
Yeah, thanks guys. So good. Also, if you don't feel like submitting stories, you can also just vote on the ones you like the most so that they rise.
Upvote.
Yeah, so they rise to the top. That helps too. Yeah. So,
And we're getting more and more active on YouTube lately. At least David is. So.
Sort of. I'm trying my best. I haven't been working as much overtime, so that means I have more free time, which means let's try to stream some more.
Yeah, so you can support the show by subscribing to our YouTube channel. Just search for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover or go to bit.ly/sbfvgsyt.
Yeah, it go upvote some stuff too there because apparently that helps people find our stuff too. So
Hit some likes. Also, you can support the show by leaving an iTunes review. Many of you guys have already done that. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the help there. It helps people find the show.
Mm-hmm.
You can also sign up for Loot Crate at trylootcrate.com/sbfvgs. Help is out there. Don't just live your life with no video game stuff
on your shelves. Yeah.
on your shelves or on your body.
And most of all, don't forget that you love games.
Don't gamenesia. They
call
it.
Don't have that gamenesia, man.
It's a sad, sad thing.
I'm really scared about that. It sounds scary.
Very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome, handsome face. And follow the show on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. You can follow me at Barry White, BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. You can friend us on PSN under those same names, except for Mike, who's Taco _ Douglas. You can find me as Barry White on Xbox Live. You can join the SBFVGS PS4 community and the official Destiny clan to keep in touch with people from this community, play games together, good times. Sometimes we pop in and out and make friends with you guys, and we love each other and we high five. So yeah. Just keep that in mind.
Sometimes Mike and I flirt with each other.
He's a married man.
It's fine.
It's inappropriate. It's inappropriate at best.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, guys.
And that's all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Episode 73. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more hard-to-impress NPCs and other talk on gaming. Ooh, Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, goodbye!
Bye! Yay!
Yay! I like your little snap you did there, Mike.
Woo! Yeah, it was like halfway to like a jazz hands.
Yeah, it
I
was
just
great.
Got the dance in me, David.
Goodbye.
If you're in the market for some new underwear, try the boxer brief. It's very good.
Yeah. There we go.
Paid for by Boxer Brief Farmers of America.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.